tomorrow's avionics technicians? Where will they come from? I'm Paul Platt, and this is Aero News. Welcome into this Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. My guest is Mike Adamson, who is Director of Training and Education for the Aircraft Electronics Association. We're here today to talk about the AEA a little bit in general, and Mike, but more specifically about the scholarships that are available for the upcoming academic year of 2008-2009. Mike, thanks for taking a few minutes out to join us today.
No, thank you, Paul.
Well, tell us about your job at AEA. First of all, how did you come to it, and what kind of background did you have that got you into avionics?
Well, my background is actually military, and that translated into some work in the OEM world with Honeywell. And I met my current employer at actually one of our trade shows, the Aircraft Electronics Association trade show, back about a decade ago.
All right. Now, this seems to be one of those fields, to me anyway, which is kind of suffering the same fate as a lot of other kinds of electronic and technical fields. And that is, it's just hard to get kids to even notice that the entire field is there. Is that an accurate assessment?
Yeah, you know, it is. There's many other technical fields that are out there that we compete with. The beauty that we have is that we, you know, add the thrill of aviation to what is becoming a highly technical, very computer-based industry. So it's up to us to kind of monopolize that and you know, take advantage of that combination of those two highly sought-after fields to be effective.
Do most avionics technicians these days come through a military background?
You know, a lot of them do. If you talk to our members, a lot of them have military backgrounds, and that's a natural carryover to come over into the civilian world with that background. There's a lot of opportunity there. Their training is very extensive. They're highly qualified people, so they're naturally someone that our member shops would seek.
From those who come from the civilian ranks, what leads them to avionics? Do you have an idea what first made them even think of this as a field they might want to pursue?
From the civilian ranks, you know, it's probably knowing somebody that's already in the industry. You know, hopefully it's from our recruiting efforts and our work with the member schools that are out there and the scholarship programs. But, you know, it's not something that they're, you know, exposed to as often as they should be through their secondary education. And or their primary education, and that's something that the association is very focused on and improving. But you know, it's a tough job to compete with those other industries. You know, to convert somebody from who doesn't have the military background.
Now, someone who might be a candidate for this, these jobs, I assume, are dispersed pretty much throughout the country. Obviously, there'll be places where there are focal points for the industry, but you know, a lot of major markets would have a handful of people who would be involved in this, or maybe more than a handful. I don't know what the numbers are nationally. How do you come to bring this to the attention of, I guess, high school teachers and guidance counselors?
Well, there's a number of ways, and you're right that the country has its hot spots. I mean, obviously the South is you know, just based on our membership. You know, the Floridas, Texases, and California. Are, you know, where the majority of our member shops are and where the majority of the employment opportunities are. But you're right, the rest of the country does have pretty significant demand, and there's avenues to work with state aviation offices, and the association has been very, very large part of the National Coalition for Aviation Education, and they work closely with teachers throughout the country to get this information to the students who may be, you know, interested in pursuing a career in aviation.
What kinds of training and what kinds of regulatory requirements face someone who wants to get into avionics technician work?
Well, the you know, the training standpoint is fairly intense because it's, you know, it's a highly technical field, and so they're, you know, they do have to have the aptitude to begin with to get into it. From a regulatory standpoint, you know, there's not a license that exists currently for avionics technicians. So from a recruiting standpoint, that's a benefit to our member shops. However, you know, it is something that we are working with the National Center for Aircraft Technician Training to get technicians certified so that there is a, you know, an available pool of certified, qualified technicians. And that's something that we've actually just come out with in the last year.
You know, you mentioned that as a benefit to the member shops, but actually it's kind of a double-edged sword because in a lot of industries where there is not government regulation. I think of the radio broadcasting industry where I was for many years. There's the Society of Broadcast Engineers, where one of the things you'll see on job postings now is someone wants SBE certification, someone who's certified by the Society of Broadcast Engineers. Is there any parallel to that in avionics, or is it just kind of wide open and you have to kind of just go resume by resume?
Well, you do. I mean, you're certainly looking for someone with experience, and you know, that may include other electronics fields, and or it may include, you know, some other aviation-related background. A lot of our member shops will pull from, you know, the licensed mechanic pool, you know, the A&P mechanics, and then, you know, obviously add some electronics training to that to round them out as a, you know, high-quality avionics technician. So there's probably parallels in the sense that you are looking for someone who's qualified. They just don't necessarily have to be licensed to go to work, which, you know, increases the labor pool for us. But at the same time, you know, there is that that question of what kind of experience do they bring, and you know, what kind of certifications are they seeking, or what kind of continuing education are they pursuing as well?
Now, you'd mentioned A&Ps. To me, the whole appeal of becoming an A&P for most people, up till now anyway, has probably had very little to do with the avionics side of things. I mean, it seems to me it would be people who are, you know, more on the mechanical side of things.
Right.
Is it tough sometimes to find enough candidates within the A&P pool to transition over?
You know, they're in talking with our member schools, which we have roughly 60, 65 member schools, who most of them have some sort of, you know, Part 147 A&P program. The majority of their recruiting for their avionics programs comes from the A&P program. So they, you know, they add on a semester or two to finish up with avionics. And the appeal to our member shops is obviously that the focus of the maintenance work has switched over from, you know, sort of a bench technician world to more of an installation, integration, line maintenance, troubleshooting world. So naturally, you want to combine somebody that's got knowledge of the full airframe, and certainly an A&P mechanic, you know, helps to bring that into the fold. And obviously, when you add, you know, the electronics background for avionics technicians, they're a very well-rounded technician there.
We're talking today with Mike Adamson, who's the Director of Training and Education for the Aircraft Electronics Association. And Mike, when we come back from our break, I want to talk about a couple of other facets of this. One is what the job entails nowadays. Second, about these scholarships that you are offering, and we'll get you to tell us more about those.
Okay, very good.
I'm Paul Platt. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
Welcome back to this Aero News special feature. I'm Paul Plack. My guest today is Mike Adamson, who's Director of Training and Education for the Aircraft Electronics Association. Mike, let me ask you about someone coming into this field of avionics technician. Tell us a little bit about what the work involves. I know that in years past, you'd be pulling some old narco out of a Cessna and putting it on a bench and warming up a soldering iron. Things have changed quite a bit. What is the job like today?
Well, you know, and it's funny you mentioned that. That activity still exists, given the fleet of aircraft that are out there. You know, we're still doing some of that. At the same time, it's a very evolving field in that, you know, the systems are far more complex than some of those systems you mentioned from years past. And with that, we're getting a lot more into the computer diagnostics and troubleshooting aspects of the equipment, and even more so the interface of the equipment. It's critical that these systems all talk to each other, and they're not all from, you know, the same manufacturer. So Understanding, you know, the wiring of the system, the configuration of the system, and all of its capabilities to get that plane back in the air It's pretty critical to today's technician.
Well, and like a lot of other things, even in the consumer world, the idea that you actually open up a box and fix what's inside has changed quite a bit. I know that, you know, back when I was a kid, there was something called a TV repairman who, you know, he might have worked out of the back of an appliance store. And if your TV had a problem, you didn't get a new one. You got the old one fixed. Well, now with surface mount components and a lot of the other things going on inside these boxes, in a lot of cases, they're not field repairable. So you're talking about either swapping out entire circuit boards or card assemblies, or just or the boxes are just so reliable that you use them for 15 years and then you get a new box.
That's exactly right. That's that epitomizes where we're at with the industry right now. A lot of that activity that used to be where you open the box and you know did the troubleshooting on the bench no longer happens. If anything, it may go back to the manufacturer, and yeah, it does require you know, some board swapping or something along those lines to bring the unit back up to speed. So it's ever changing. And like I said, the environment that we're in now is, for our member shops anyways, is geared mostly towards the installation and line maintenance troubleshooting of that equipment.
Now, before we get into talking specifically about scholarships, we need to talk about what the educational requirements are or typically are. Is this a certificate or a two-year degree, a four-year degree? What do most people get? What kind of program do they use to come into this industry?
Well, most of the programs are two-year technical degrees. Typically, an associate's degree accompanies that. And as I mentioned earlier, the National Center for Aircraft Technician Training, which the AEA is heavily involved with and partner with, and our member shops are involved with, you know, now offers certification for those technicians. So the key element for recruiting is you know, letting mom and dad know that their son or daughter who's going through one of these programs not only finishes with an associate's degree, but they also finish with an industry-recognized certification, and that's kind of the key thing that the NCAP program offers. And it's, you know, it's starting to be required by a number of our member shops to gain employment.
Now, starting from the top of this list of scholarships, some of these are very substantial. I mean, $35,000 for a couple of the top ones, ranging down to a bunch of new ones at the low end that are $1,000. Do you have any kind of ballpark idea what, for example, if someone does go to a Texas State Technical College where, you know, some of the scholarships are targeted, what kind of cost they should expect to incur to get through a two-year associate's program?
Yeah, I think there's the big difference lies in you know, the community and state colleges versus some of the private institutions. And, you know, with those, you could complete a program for, you know, less than $10,000 for some of the community colleges. And some of the private colleges are a little more expensive. You know, at the same time, you know, they may offer some things that might not be available at community colleges. So I think the best thing to do is to, you know, to talk to the different schools that are on that list that sponsor the different programs and see what kind of setup they have, you know, the instructors, the program the school offers, the equipment that's available to be worked on, the aircraft, and that sort of thing. But there are definitely differences in the two, and it just depends on, you know, your location, your proximity to the school, and your desire to complete a program in, you know, 2 years and be ready for the industry.
Tell us a little bit about the demographics of the industry, and tell me if I'm right on this. It seems that in several segments of aviation, most notably the airline pilot segment, and the very low end of GA, and by that I mean price-wise, I mean the guys who are flying older Cessnas, it seems as though the recreational flying community and the airline pilot community are both graying. A lot of these guys who are flying airliners got their training during the Vietnam era, most of them in the military, and they're all kind of reaching retirement age at the same time. And in general aviation, in light planes, especially recreational flying, there seem to be a lot of people over the age of 45. Is this also true of aviation technicians? Is it a thing where the industry is facing a more acute shortage in the next few years?
Yes, absolutely. In fact, we do an annual survey to understand exactly the demographic of our technicians at our member repair stations. And what you said is exactly right. It's an aging technician workforce, and being part of that, it's also a wiser workforce, but at the same time, you know, the problem in lies that some of those may be reaching retirement age or nearing that in the next 5 to 10 years, and that just means that there's more importance on recruiting that next generation. And when we talk about, you know, the efforts to do that and the scholarships and those types of things are far more important now than they ever have been, because we're going to see some attrition in those older ranks, and we're going to have to fill them with, you know, qualified people that are, you know, part of the next generation of avionics technicians.
Mike, with a lot of people interested in technical fields nowadays other than avionics, I think of the kids who want to be network engineers and work on computers and that sort of thing. Isn't it just kind of a natural transition to show them this stuff and the exciting world that it's installed in? And it should be a slam dunk, I would think, to recruit them. Is that not happening?
It's not, you know, and I think where there are some efforts to put these programs together to let the students know, and certainly we're involved in those things at different aviation days throughout the country. I don't know that the industry does the best job they could in just turning these students on to, you know, the merging of the computer and aviation industry. I think we could do a much better job of selling that message that, you know, you're going to hook a laptop up to a pretty fancy display in a cockpit. You're going to troubleshoot it, configure it, test it, and, you know, at the end of the day, send the plane on its way. And, you know, what's cooler than that? And I think that's the thing we've got to work on in turning on the next generation of technicians to this industry.
Well, and as tough as it is to keep up with the growing technology in any of these individual industries, imagine being a high school guidance counselor and trying to even know about all this stuff and be able to convey it to students in a way that it will excite them, because people who help people decide what careers to pursue, it's a great deal of satisfaction for them when somebody finds a career like this that's a match for their wants and needs.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And as I mentioned, the National Coalition for Aviation Education does a fantastic job of that, and they're a very good conduit to that group. We're responsible then for getting the right message to them as far as the aviation and aviation maintenance side of the business. And that's something that we're working on. We're putting together a new package for these counselors and for the schools that are already have 147 programs or are members of the association, to you know, let them know that we've got a video that explains the industry and what's entailed in the job.
Is that available on AEA.net?
It sure is. Yeah, yeah. You can download it. It's a 12-minute video on careers in avionics. You know, also talk about the opportunities. You know, for some pretty good salary, and, of course, the demand for qualified technicians out there. So I think when you put all that together and give it to a counselor, they can't help but be turned on to the prospects of this very exciting industry.
Does the industry have any numbers that could predict for someone who's considering this career what their first few years of income potential might look like?
Yeah, we do quite a bit of study on that as well in our rate and labor survey, and it matches pretty closely with what the Department of Labor does. And, you know, those numbers, depending on, you know, obviously the location you're in and what type of facility you're going to be working for, it's all, you know, dependent upon that. But, you know, you could be looking at medium income of, you know, in the mid-40s to $50,000. You know, now starting pay is going to be slightly less than that. And then, of course, the sky's the limit as you get into managerial and ownership opportunities.
Well, and I would imagine as avionics become more and more specialized and sophisticated, there's probably room for that to grow in relation to salaries and aviation in general.
Absolutely, and we're seeing that happen. You know, every year we see a single digit, but still a fairly significant increase in the wages that are being paid to technicians. And I think that has a lot to do with the requirements of their technical background and their continuous education that they need to just stay on top of this emerging technology.
Are there any other fields? I mean, let's play poacher for a moment here. Are there any other fields which might be full of candidates for this kind of work and they just don't know it yet? You know, computer repair or anything else like that?
Oh, absolutely. And I think that's where we've got to outshine those other industries as far as our recruiting efforts. You know, certainly the computer industry. It seems like all the other industries out there are poaching from ours because our technicians are going through such great schools and getting licensed, and then, you know, other industries are coming along and offering them, you know, unbelievable pay. But I think we've got the real appeal with the love of aviation and the merging of the computer and high technology to draw them back in. And I think it's up to us to, you know, to really market that to next generation.
All right. Tell us a little bit specifically now about the scholarships. They total more than $100,000. And quite frankly, I was startled to see it that big a number. Given the size of the industry, but tell us how that program got started and what people should do if they want to find out more.
Yeah, absolutely. Back in the early 90s, the association established the Educational Foundation for that sole purpose of, well, not the sole purpose, but the primary purpose was to, you know, to administer scholarships. And since then, you know, the foundation has administered over $1 million in scholarship money and, you know, hundreds of awards to different students. You know, and the process is fairly simple. Everything is online. You can go to aea.net/scholarship and download the current application. You know, obviously fill out everything that is required and get it sent into the association by February 15th of 2008. And whether you're a new student out of high school or you're a current student in an aviation maintenance or avionics program, you can apply. So it's wide open. There's a number of awards. I will tell you, we do have quite a few applicants. We probably have over 500 applicants a year for these 30 awards. So, you know, it is fairly competitive. But, you know, there's money to be had. And like I said, with depending on the program you're pursuing, you know, $1,000, $2,000, $2,500 goes a long ways towards completing an associate's degree in aviation maintenance and avionics.
We'll point out to listeners that there's a link from wherever they found this Aerocast that has a direct link to aea.net/scholarship so they can find out more. And we look forward to catching up with you in the future and finding out how this endeavor is going.
Paul, thank you. We appreciate the opportunity. And again, I'd like to add, if there's, you know, any questions that the listeners may have, they can contact me directly. You can get the information from the website. It's just aea.net. And call in. I'd be happy to talk to them about the process.
All right. Mike, thanks very much. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, thanks, Paul.
You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. On the web, you'll find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.